This week, Seattle hosts one of the biggest international sports tournaments in the world. But even hardcore sports fans may have never heard of it. That's because the sport is a multiplayer online battle arena video game called Dota 2. Players are coming from far and wide to compete before a live audience at Key Arena and a live video stream audience of an estimated 20 million viewers around the world. Nick Wingfield writes about esports, as they're called, for the New York Times. He went to the tournament last year and he told Gina Yentl what it's like to watch people play video games in an arena.
It's filled with fans, some in costumes, some holding banners, some holding flags. There are international teams competing from China, from Ukraine, from all over the world. People are holding up their flags of their national country. All of the action is on stage on a big screen showing the video game that these two five-person teams are playing. The five-person teams are in soundproof booths. Yes, they're in soundproof booths so that they can't hear the sportscasters who are narrating the game, because otherwise that would give away the position of the competing team. And they're narrating what's going on a mile a minute. But not only that, there are sportscasters or their casters doing Korean, Chinese, Russian simultaneously at different stands around the stadium, which really gives you a feel for the international flavor of it.
Well, you just described esports as an international phenomenon. Why is Seattle such a place for esports then?
The main reason, I would say, is that we have a high concentration of video game developers in Seattle, including some of the most important ones in esports. Valve, the company that's putting on this event this weekend, is an incredibly influential company in the video game scene. They have a couple of games that are played as esports. Dota 2 is the one that's being played this week. You have also Microsoft with its Xbox business. You have Nintendo's U.S. headquarters are here, and there are others as well.
What do you think Seattle's piece of esports will be looking forward, looking into the future?
You know, the interesting thing about esports is it's impossible to predict, I think, what it's going to become. Could it become something more tribal and regional, where we have teams that are based in different parts of the country or different cities and that we root for them? It could be like that. It could be that there's a Seattle Sounders or a Seahawks equivalent team, but we're not there yet. These teams are composed of players from all over the country. It could be that we have arenas dedicated to this at some point. We haven't mentioned Twitch, which is a, you can kind of think as almost the ESPN of esports. They're owned by Amazon now, which is a Seattle-based company. And they're really where you go to see a lot of these events and the practices that lead up to these events.
You just said that esports doesn't necessarily have a Seahawks-level team or a Sounders-level team, meaning a team that people here in Seattle really sort of identify with and root for. How else is esports in Seattle different from football in Seattle or soccer in Seattle?
They're so different in so many different ways. It's not like, you know, everybody from the Seahawks comes and trains at a stadium in or a field in Seattle. These are people who kind of meet each other online, and a lot of their experience is just communicating through the internet and playing with each other. That being said, who knows what the model is like down the line? It could be that the physical side of training for esports becomes much more important. A lot of these young men who are on these esports teams are staying up late all night playing. They're eating junk food. They're eating energy drinks. But there have actually been some efforts for people to kind of, you know, improve their health overall, focus on things like yoga, weightlifting, things like that, just to keep their health and their concentration at a high level.
Well, we've been talking about this Dota 2 championship, which is going to be seen by tens of millions of people around the world. But at the same time, there are probably plenty of people here in Seattle who have never heard of esports, who have never heard of Dota 2. So what do you think it'll take for esports to tip into the mainstream?
Well, this is a question that comes up a lot about esports. When is it going to have its moment and break through to the mainstream? I think when you look at the numbers of people who are watching some of these tournaments, it's already there. So it's not like in the United States there are, you know, hundreds of millions of people watching yet. But globally, yes, there are over 100 million esports enthusiasts around the world. I think, though, what it's really going to take is aging. I think the people who are now going to these esports tournaments are going to get older. It's going to become a natural part of their lives. They're not going to say, well, is professional video gaming a sport or not, for them, that's not going to be a question. And then their children are going to come up, and esports is going to be even more natural to them. And I think at that moment, the real test will happen. Can it be made comprehensible enough, exciting enough for tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people to watch it?
Nick Wingfield covers tech and esports for the New York Times. He spoke to Jeannie Yandel. This week, Dota 2, a big video game festival and conference and battle, will be taking place at Key Arena and also be live streamed to 20 million people around the world.